You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Marta and Tomas. They're talking to us from Malta. Marta and Tomas, thank you so much for being with me today.
Hi, thanks to you.
Hi, thank you.
Marta or Tomas, I'd love to hear just a little bit about Malta. We're talking, of course, in February in 2021. You're on one of the three small islands of Malta, right? Gozo, I believe. Can you tell me a little bit about... Yeah, did I mispronounce that? Tell me a little bit about what it's like there. That it seems very far away, very exotic to me, and I'm wondering what's happening there also in terms of the pandemic.
It is very far away. We are in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, South Italy, between Sicily and
Libya.
And Malta, it's three little islands, Malta, Comino, and Gozo. And we are in Gozo, which has about 40,000 inhabitants. And here, things are really quiet, slowed down during the pandemic. Things start to close. So at the moment, we are closed in our gallery. So we are a little bit lost in this situation.
So Malta is similar to the rest of the world. The pandemic has also closed down a large part of the economy, it sounds like, and infection rates are like anywhere else.
We feel a bit lucky, though, here, because since we are a little island, it's just like being on a boat, really. So the people, permanently living here, we are more or less quite free to move around, and life goes on. But it's also a lot of tourism here normally, and at the moment, there is none. So that's a huge difference. Actually, we like it pretty much because it's quiet and, you know, it's nice. Less cars.
Right, right. Well, strangely, New York is also like that. New York City is incredibly quiet. There's no tourists. And, many people are thinking, you know, the streets should be replanned for walking because it's a much nicer experience. So let's talk about your gallery, though. Art Hall, can you tell me a little bit about its goals? Because I love the mission of it. This is, or maybe just how it both began. How did you guys begin to come to it? Because I love the idea of let art find you, which is, right, your motto. And it seems like a wonderful space. Can you tell me a little bit about how it started and how you came to that mission?
Yes, we opened Art Hall in 2018, and the idea behind it was to make art more reachable to anyone, because we had the feeling that art was something excluding, so we wanted to change this mindset. And for this reason, when we opened Art Hall, the first thing we did is to do a lot of activities, free activities for everyone, so that people could come in and at the same time in a relaxed atmosphere to have a look at the art. But what we did is to open the doors widely and that people could come there and listen to music, listen to a reading. We did jam sessions, we did philosophy talks, music talks. So to give this feeling that it's a space alive where people can come, share ideas, etc.
It's also quite interesting here, in Gozo, you have the locals, of course, obviously, and they are pretty conservative and not, in general speaking, not very interested in art and culture. But then we are a lot of foreigners who have moved here, settled down here, some people for a few years, other people stay here for the rest of their lives, and there you see another mentality. So we have like two groups here, more or less, to put it simple. So with our gallery, we work with modern art, and that's pretty new here on Gozo. Some of the local people are quite shocked, and they look in through our doors, and a bit shy almost to get in, but they are also very curious. So I hope over time that we will kind of introduce a bit of new kind of art for the local market.
I like that. Yeah, I also had a gallery once on a place called Block Island, which is off the coast of Rhode Island in the United States. It was a very small island, 7 by 2 miles, and it was a similar situation. The locals were very conservative, very tolerant, though. They didn't mind the gallery, but it was tourists and other people who moved there from other cities that seemed to support it most. But nevertheless, it seems to, you know, contribute to the community in that way that they can, you know, as you say, cautiously put their head in. So what is the background of both of you that you created this program? Because I love the idea of the events and talking about philosophy and jamming. This is a very kind of contemporary and even progressive idea of what a gallery or art should be.
Well, in my case, I studied philosophy, and I always wanted to do something related to philosophy, poetry, and then once we decided to open the gallery, I saw it was a perfect space for it. So it became really interesting because I could invite professors to give a lecture for free, people who didn't study philosophy, it's not that they come there to discuss. So for me, it's really a fulfillment to have this space related to philosophy and then with art. And in the case of Thomas, it's different because you are the artist, a musician, so...
Yes, exactly. I mean, I'm an artist myself, so to me, it was one of the reasons moving here to Goosen originally because I love this space. And there are actually quite a few artists around here who have settled down. For the same reason that, you know, old days maybe people went to live in small towns in Spain, etc., and in France, all over Europe, right? But now it's too popular and crowded, so then you have to find another similar environment where you are left in space and can focus on your art. So that was my personal reason moving here, or one of them. And then it was Marta's idea to open up this gallery, and of course I was excited too, because that means that I have free space to exhibit and create my own exhibitions.
Well, if I accept your art.
Like that.
We fight all the time.
Well, it's part of being an artist to defend your art and to advocate for it. Marta, I'd love to ask you more about the philosophical events and discussions. That's something I would love to attend, but would be very hard for me, and I'd love to even create that. It sounds wonderful to have a group of people talking about issues that are that aren't, you know, just about current events or health or other things. How do you get the conversation going? How is that structured, the event, to talk about philosophy? I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, you would be surprised because the problem is not how to get talking. The problem is how to stop them. Because when they start, it's amazing. I mean, we can be there for hours. People get really engaged. So that was a beautiful surprise. Because it depends on the subject, but it depends also on the person who is giving the lecture. And I have to say that every time people got involved, because they are a little bit provocative, and that is the key, I guess, of a talk. If it's just a plain uniform without being a little bit transgression, people don't get engaged. But when you touch subjects like, I don't know, religion, or I remember one of the last ones, are we living in a simulation? People, I think we all have these questions within ourselves. And then it just to put a little bit of fire, and all of a sudden everyone wants to talk and share experience. And the key of this, I also think, is that it's an informal setting. So at the moment we never record it. Maybe we should record it so that you can join the meetings, for example. But it's nice because it's happening there at that moment. It's not proof that it has happened, so if you are not there, you miss it. And then another key of the talk is that it's free wine. So this helps a lot also to have free wine for everyone.
Yes, of course. That always helps at opening. So that's fascinating. Would this be something that you might do on Zoom in the future? So many things have moved to Zoom. Are any of these events of the galleries moving online?
That's a problem because I have to say I don't like it to have type of Zoom meetings. The little times we took part in these Zoom meetings, I really dislike because I like a lot this, this physical contact.
Yes, it's another point here also because since it, those talks, if it's philosophy, which is mostly what it is, I think it will frighten off people, even in any locality, really, if it wouldn't have been because it's actually taking part at an art gallery. The combination here, I think, is also a key. So it's more colorful and it's easier to step into this art gallery and take part in this talk. And meanwhile, you see art on the walls, you know, you are looking at it. So if you put this online, it becomes so much just a talk or a discussion, and I think common people wouldn't really log in to take part in that, I suspect, anyway. So then we will miss part of the audience, so to speak.
It's like the online exhibition, for example. I'm not sure about it either. I feel it can give much more to come in the space of a gallery to experience the art. But obviously now in the middle of the pandemic, we have to reconsider every possible situation because the fact is that we are not doing exhibitions right now or we cancel the talks right now. So this is something we should consider. But if you ask me if I am willing to do this type of meetings online, my answer is no, I am not willing. But if the circumstance push us to do this, we'll have to update ourselves and give it a try for a period. And then I understand that that would open up more possibilities because then people from America, from whatever point of the planet, can join and take part. So yes, I understand we are limiting ourselves also.
And so to speak about just the gallery and the work that's in the gallery, you have a range of work. It looks like really interesting work. How do you curate what's in there? I know Marta has the final say on that, it sounds like, but how do you decide what artists create what shows? How do you curate this essentially?
Well, we normally what I like to do is to take an exhibition from a concept. For example, last one I think it was called Liquid Art. And Liquid Art, it was taken from a concept. And then I look up artists I have around that could fit this liquid art, this concept taken by a philosopher. And I use a lot of philosophy to define an exhibition. And then I try to put together artists that can fit this concept. So normally we invent a concept and then we look for the artist. Or for example, another exhibition was called Wabi Sabi or Erotic Cravings. Or so normally we have an idea, we define the idea, and then we see if the artist is interested in participating, trying to fit the idea. It's not always possible, but this is what we have been trying, which is also different of what they do here normally, because in Malta normally they do solo exhibitions. So it's one artist doing an exhibition of all his works. But what we try to do is to combine. So in one exhibition you have at least three artists given different perspectives to a concept. And then it's a lot of contrast, different perspectives, And I find it creates a very rich exhibition, more powerful.
I would add to this also that Martha has shown to have a very good nose for those things. I mean, the pieces, the artworks we exhibit are often on a very high quality and fun. And also to stress that it's not strict. The subjects or the themes Martha is talking about here, it becomes really interpreted in several ways. You know, when you see the exhibition all together, it's really different. Young, for example, erotic cravings
or whatever.
It's a free mindset, I would say, around it. But still, we have a little red thread somewhere to hold on to. So yeah.
Of course, I like that. And the artists themselves, are they largely from Malta, or are they coming from all around? I would think, you know, shipping and getting work out to Malta would be almost prohibitive because of flying. Or no, where do the artists come from?
It is a combination. We have people living here mostly, but they might be foreigners like myself. We have people from America, from Italy, from Australia. We have
from Germany.
So we have artists from basically all over. And it's also interesting because the buyers are mainly actually also from all over the world, not the local people, I would say. Especially in my case, my paintings has gone all over the planet, except Gozo, basically.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, now we have at the gallery around 17 artists that we are representing right now in our website and at the gallery. And from these 17, maybe 5 are local, Maltese, and the rest are all foreigners that they are living in Malta temporarily. Some of them, they spend some time mainly creating in Gozo, and then they go back to the UK or to Germany or to America. But most of the pieces, we don't have they don't have to ship it because they create it here. So we take advantage of this. We have, I don't know, Luca Indracolo, Fuerz, etc., that they are mainly in the UK, but they are creating here. So they participate in our exhibitions with the pieces they are creating right now. So the problem is for them to take it to the UK, but for here it's not a problem because they do it here.
Right, and that's up to them, of course. Well, that's it's really exciting to talk to you both about this. Of course, there's links on here so people can learn more and go to the Art Hall website. One last question I want to ask you both is, what are you reading now on Malta?
You know what I'm reading now. Maybe you'll be surprised. I am reading El Quijote, de Miguel de Cervantes. It's a classic, but I never found was obviously old-fashioned Spanish. And some years ago, Andrés Trapiello updated the language in a, let's say, modern Spanish. So now I am enjoying the El Quijote without a dictionary next to me all the time, which is a relief. And I find I even love this book that before I couldn't
see. And I'm reading Pure Nonsense. It was something I picked up. I went to Sweden over Christmas and I found it in my daughter's bedroom and I took it and started to read. So, and it is a book by a Swedish music journalist who has spent a lot of time with several rock bands over the time, Kiss and Alice Cooper and God knows what. And it's like for the toilet.
Well, Marta and Tomas, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been my pleasure.
Thanks a lot to you for this opportunity and hope you manage to visit us. Not online, in person, in Gozo.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.